For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Spiritual Gifts, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. An interesting statement of Paul, because I think that in the church, one of the areas where the greatest ignorance does exist today is in the area of spiritual gifts and their operation within the church. And this ignorance is on both sides of the fence. Within the Pentecostal churches, there's a lot of abuse of the gifts of the Spirit because people are ignorant of their true operation within the church. On the other side of the fence, among some of the fundamental churches, there's a lot of ignorance of the gifts of the Spirit as they dismiss them to another age and do not see any validity for them today. And so where Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, sad but true, there's a great deal of ignorance today. Now you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Evidently, there was a rumor in Paul's day that someone speaking in tongues was overheard by someone who understood the language that he was speaking in, and he was actually blaspheming God. Paul said, impossible. No man by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed. Now, that rumor probably started in Corinth, but it hasn't died yet. I often today hear people say, oh, well, there was a meeting. You know, my aunt knew a woman who attended a service. Never will you ever hear a firsthand evidence of that rumor. It's always someone who knew somebody. Somewhere. And there was this meeting, and someone got up and spoke in tongues, and someone was there from Egypt, understood the language, and they were blaspheming God and all. And that rumor persists to the present day. However, know this, no man by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed. Impossible. Also, if you have a son who comes to you and asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a scorpion. If he asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a serpent. Now, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? I'm tired of these boogeyman stories. You better be careful when you yield yourself and open up yourself to God, because you don't know what spirit might come in. False. Your heavenly Father is much more gracious than we are as earthly fathers. And if I, as a sincere child of God, am seeking the fullness of God's Spirit and asking him to give me more of his Spirit indwelling me and empowering me, it would be blasphemous to say that God would allow some false or evil spirit to come in and to take control of my life. That is an extremely blasphemous concept of God that I utterly reject. The second part of this is also interesting. No man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If I really confess Jesus Christ is Lord, I can only do that as the result of the work of the Holy Spirit within my life. If you have made that confession, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit within your life. You can't do it apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot make a genuine confession that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit has done his work within your life. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many different gifts. There is a partial listing here. Paul gives another listing in Romans 12, in which he adds some that are not here. There are diversities of gifts. Many different gifts, but there's just one Spirit. The same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Now he speaks about governments and helps and things of this nature, and there are different administrations. And yet, it is the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So, even with the diversities of gifts, then there are diversities of the operations of that gift. I may possess a certain gift of the Spirit, and you may possess the same gift of the Spirit, but it may operate in my life differently than it operates in your life. And one thing about God is that he will not be pigeonholed by us. He refuses to be conformed to our patterns and to our mindsets. He allows himself that liberty of working as he wills and as he desires. And it doesn't always follow my patterns. Therefore, it is wrong to seek to receive the same kind of an experience that someone else received. God may work differently in your life. A mistake that we often make when we hear a person give a glorious testimony of how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or how they received some gift of the Spirit in their lives, they think, oh, well, that's the way it happens. And so, you know, I try to look for the same kind of sensations, the same kind of feelings as some people are very, the sanguine especially, can describe things so vividly, you know. And I was under the piano, and I began to get this warm feeling that started at the top of my head, you know, and it was just like it came right on down through me, and my whole body was just tingling with these, and they can go on. And so I am waiting upon God and say, oh, Lord, I want to receive more of your Spirit, and then I wait for this warm glow to start in the top of my head, and nothing happens. I wait and wait and wait, and I don't get this warm glow, and I think, well, maybe another night, you know. Because I'm looking to imitate someone else's experience. But we, all of us, relate to God in our own ways, and God relates to us in his own way, and our experiences can vary dramatically, though we do have and can be exercising the same gift of the Spirit. The way it works in me is different than the way it works in you. The sensations that I may feel would be different from the sensations that you may feel. And thus, we should not be trying to receive some experience or predicate the fact that I've received the experience because I've had a warm glow or a felt like a bath or felt like this or felt like that. The faith should never be in the feelings that I receive, because I may not have any feelings at all that I can describe. All I've got is pure faith in the promise of God. Oh, what a shame. No, what a blessing. I've got God's word, and I stand upon the word of God. Same in salvation. You know, people describe these marvelous feelings when they receive Jesus Christ. And so people are looking for some kind of a feeling rather than just taking the word of God at face value. God has said it. He has promised it. I put my faith in the word and the promise of God and establish it there rather than, you know, well, brother, let me tell you, this is how it happened to me. And so it's important that our faith be established in the word, because it doesn't change. My feelings do. My feelings can change radically from tonight to tomorrow morning, but the word of God doesn't change. Thus, when my faith is established upon the word, then I have a solid relationship. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And of course, here you have the Father, Son, and the Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. If God does give to me a gift of the Spirit, it isn't for my own personal pleasure. It isn't a toy for me to play with. It's for the profit of the whole body of Christ. There is only one gift spoken of that is to be used in one's personal devotion and is for their personal benefit, and that is the gift of tongues. And we'll get to that as we study the 14th chapter, the proper use of tongues in the life of the believer. So the gifts are given for the profit of the whole body of Christ. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. This word of wisdom is exercised in, of course, different ways, diversities of operations. In the early church, there arose a dispute between the Hellenists, the Grecians, and the Hebrews. Some of the Jews were following the Hellenistic culture, some were following the Hebrew culture. Those that were following the Hellenist culture felt that their widows were getting a second-rate treatment from the church's welfare program. So they came to the apostles with their complaint. Our widows getting second-class treatment over there at the welfare tables. And so the apostles got together. The word of wisdom, let us appoint seven men of good reputation, filled with the Holy Spirit, that they might take the duty of administering the church's welfare in order that we might continue to give ourselves to fasting and to prayer and to the word of God. For it isn't right that we should leave our ministry to take care of distributing of the church's welfare program. Word of wisdom. Further wisdom is manifested probably in the fact that seven of the seven men, five of them have Grecian names, which mean they probably came from a Hellenistic culture. When certain brethren came to the church of Antioch and saw the Gentiles and their liberty in Christ, they said, hey, wait a minute, you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. You keep the law of Moses. And so Paul and Barnabas gathered these guys together and they went on, we'll go right down to Jerusalem. We'll settle this right now once and for all. So they came to the church in Jerusalem and there was a big division over this. Peter got up and said, well, he said, God called me to the Gentiles, and while I was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Who was I to resist the word of God? I don't think that we ought to try and put a yoke of bondage on them that we've never been able to keep. Then others of them, Paul and Barnabas, told the work that God had done, the miracles that were accomplished among their ministry and the Gentiles. Then James, with a word of wisdom, said, I suggest let's just write to them and tell them keep themselves from fornication and things that were offered to idols or things that were strangled. And if they do that, they do well. Let's not, you know, lay the whole thing on them, just, you know, the essentials. Word of wisdom, everybody's happy. Yeah, that's good, that's right. And so often when there are differences, disagreements, there's the possibility of people polarizing. The word of wisdom so often can just come in and someone will speak up and say, well, I think we ought to do that. And everybody says, hey, yeah, that's a good idea. How'd you ever think of that, you know? And really, it's just the word of wisdom coming forth. And so there are some that God just gifts this way. It isn't a reservoir of wisdom that I can just tap on at any time and it's there. But in a situation that arises, the Lord just gives that word of wisdom that is satisfying to everybody. The second that he lists here or speaks about is the word of knowledge. Now, this is how that you intuitively or somehow inwardly just have knowledge of something that is going on, and you can't tell how you know it. It's just the Spirit has revealed it, and you have from the Spirit knowledge of a situation, knowledge of a person's circumstance. I've looked at people sometimes, and the Lord just gave me all kinds of understanding of the problems that that person was going through, things that were happening in their lives. I can't tell you where I received it or how, but it was just there. The word of knowledge was probably exercised by Peter when this fellow Simon was seeking to buy the power that whosoever he laid his hands on, they might receive also the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, your money perishes with you. I perceive that in your heart there's bitterness, there's jealousy, there's envy that is there. You better pray and repent. Peter was reading the fellow. And so this word of knowledge is interesting. I'm not really always aware when it's being exercised. Many times in the pulpit ministry, the word of knowledge is exercised, and I'm not even aware of it. One time, you know, every once in a while I get on these kicks of these evangelists or these men who have a paper ministry. It's all in letters. They go out and take pictures, you know, this is my great meeting here, and you know, continue to send in your support for God's work to go on. And they're doing nothing but sitting and typing these pitiful letters to their constituents and to their mailing list. And they really do no service for God. And I was going on about these kind of people one night. And I said, you know, they live down on Lido Island. They drive white Cadillacs. And I go on and all. I was going on describing, you know, this scenario. Monday morning, I received an irate call because these services are broadcast. I received an irate call from a guy who lives down on Lido Island, drives a white Cadillac, who has a mailing ministry. He said, you had no right speaking about my ministry. You don't know what I'm doing for the Lord. And I said, well, I really don't. Who are you? Then you were talking about me last night, talking about, you know, my home here on Lido and my white Cadillac and all. I said, sir, I don't know anything about you. I've never heard of you in my life. I said, I was just making up an example. And because Lido's sort of a plush area, I just named Lido and, you know, white Cadillac's sort of endemic for these guys. And I said, but I don't know you. But I said, if I were you, I would sure examine myself. The word of knowledge. Now, it does happen sometimes in very peculiar circumstances. I mean, weird kind of things. I was at a Rose Bowl game, SC and Ohio State. SC had the ball down on their own 15-yard line. And so this friend that I was at the game with, I said, watch, on this next play, Davis is going to take the ball around the left end, and he's going to go all the way in one play. And my wife says that my voice carries. She always says, honey, talk softer. You're in a restaurant. Everybody can hear you, you know. And so people around me heard me, you know. The very next play, the ball was given to Davis around left end, ran all the way for a touchdown. Everybody in five rows turned around and looked at me. And they said, what's going to happen next? I don't know why I said it. I've never said anything like that in my life. But it was just something that came out. And then when it happened, I was as amazed as everybody. Word of knowledge is a very interesting thing. Just how it operates, a person doesn't really know. You know, I think that one thing is that the supernatural often operates so naturally that we fail to recognize it as the supernatural. There's an awful lot of supernatural happening around us that we are totally oblivious to. We're not even aware of it because it happens so naturally. I expect if God speaks to me that there's going to be the Chuck, you know, ooh, you know, your hair standing on end, oh, God's talking, you know. I mean, you can tell his voice. It's got that shake to it, you know. And so we're looking for some type of supernatural phenomena in order to recognize the work of God or the voice of God. But it oftentimes happens in a very still, small voice. An inner awareness, a sudden thought or inspiration, a sudden desire as God speaks to our hearts and plants his truth within our hearts. And so I have learned not to look for the fire, not to look for the earthquake, not to look for the rushing wind, but to listen to that still small voice as God speaks to our hearts. The word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Discover the Word for Today Bible, featuring Pastor Chuck Smith's insightful commentary and notes that bring the Scriptures to life with simple, powerful understanding. This Bible includes an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, and the words of Christ in red, all designed to help you dive deeper into God's Word. And in the softcover and hardcover edition, you'll also receive Chuck Smith's inspiring book, How Can a Man Be Born Again? The perfect guide for new believers seeking to grow in their faith. It's our prayer that as you read the Word for Today Bible, Chuck's commentaries will help God's Word come alive in your heart, drawing you closer to the Lord and stirring a passionate desire to serve Him. Want to learn more or read a preview? Visit twft.com or call 800-272-9673 to order your Word for Today Bible today. The Word for Today Bible, helping you understand God's Word simply and clearly.
God bless you and keep his hand upon your life. May he watch over you daily. And may you be conscious of his presence. Not just a thing from your head knowing, but in your heart experiencing the nearness, the closeness of God. May the Lord give you strength for every trial and testing. And may you come to that place of a total reliance upon his strength, the acknowledging of your own weakness, the surrendering and the committing of yourself completely into his hands. And thus may your week be blessed and anointed by God. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast. As Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 12. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.